Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the 7th chapter of the book of Job. Job chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lay down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro from the dawning of the day, or unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me when I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint? Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it. I would not live alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt see me in the morning. Seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. A very interesting and complex passage from Job's mouth here. He is continuing his defense to Eliphaz. Remember, Eliphaz spoke, and now Job is responding in chapters 6 and 7. Now, Job had spoken, as we said last week, somewhat rashly, and said that he would like to die. No more shall he persevere in this difficult estate. It's much easier to check out than it would be to stay on. And we said back then, and we agree even this week, that that is a sinful attitude, that we are never justified in telling God, the punishments that you're giving me are too great. Remember that that is the language of Cain and not the language of faithful men. Faithful men say things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Unfaithful men like Cain say, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And even faithful men who are in difficulty may say unguarded things like Job does here. So, it is as if Job has bethought himself. In chapter 6, he's talked about dying. And now he says, well, they might misunderstand what I'm saying here, so I'm going to clarify it. But in his attempt to clarify or to justify his thoughts that he ought to be taken away from the earth, Job only digs himself in deeper. So Job goes on then when he says, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? In other words, what he's saying is everybody dies. It's okay for me to wish for death because the death rate is still one per person. And then he goes on to say, even a wage earner, even a servant, has an end to his term. He goes out and he labors all day in the field, and he comes in to lay down in his bed. There is, in other words, some relenting of his toil, some relenting of his labor. The hireling, the man who is a hired servant, he goes out and he comes back and he gets a wage. There is an end to his term. And Job says, my term is unending. It goes on for months. When I lay down, I don't get any rest. I say, when will it be light? And by corollary, we might understand that there's an ellipsis in the passage. For when he gets up, he says, when can I lay down? In other words, his suffering is unrelenting. I don't know if any of us have ever suffered in such a case as that, where such suffering is unrelenting. And so let's give Job a little bit of space here, which his friends will indeed refuse to do going forward. In fact, Bildad in the next chapter is pretty hard on him. Says some things that are, well, he just digs in, and we'll see that in a few moments, or in a couple of hours. So, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and when shall the night be gone? I am full of tossings to and fro. And then he goes on to talk about the depth of his suffering and his skin and so on. And so, verses 1 through 5, his first defense of his calling out for death is, I get no relief. Everybody gets relief. Everybody comes to an end of their term, but I'm not. So it's not so untoward for me to cry out for death. It is. That's a sin. Let's realize that. Then in verses 6 through 11, he says, well, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. My years are spent without hope. In other words, I'm seeing my life rapidly approaching an end. So thereby, it's okay for me to cry out for death. All indicators are that I'll be dead by the end of the week. So what's wrong with me crying out for death? In other words, that's his justification. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. I therefore will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Then he goes on, verses 12 through 15, this is his third defense of his calling out for death, when he says, am I a whale or the sea that thou settest a watch over me? Commentators are really divided as to what this means. I think what he means is, my third defense is, I'm a human being. I'm not a beast. So I can look around and see the hand writing on the wall. I can see the signs of the times. I can see my life coming to an end. What is wrong with me seeking death when I can see my life coming to an end? I'm not a beast. I'm not a whale or the sea. And so in all these, Job magnifies his own judgment against God, doesn't he? And then just as someone who has spoken something maybe a little bit rashly, spoken something, his mouth got a little ahead of his mind, right? We used to say to people, make sure your mind is engaged before your mouth starts moving, that kind of thing. He gets out there in front, and in verses, where does it start here? 17? In verses 17 through the end of the chapter, it is as if he recognizes, oh, God is listening. God is listening to what I'm saying here. And so he mitigates or mollifies his statements some, and he cries out to the Lord. And in his crying out, we see that Job is not a faithless man. He is in a most difficult strait and speaking unadvisedly. As we said a couple of weeks ago, Durham calls it, he's speaking feverishly. And yet, he is not a faithless man. Because here then, he applies his case unto the Lord. And he says, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him? and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? And here he is crying out as a man that does not understand. He doesn't understand the depth of this suffering. And so what does he do when he doesn't understand? Well, in this moment of greater clarity, he cries unto the Lord and he says, Why? What is it that you will not forgive my sin? You see, Job calls himself a sinner. He applies himself to the grace and to the mercy of God. And so, even in the difficult strait here, we see a glimmer of that faith that is sometimes hidden in Job's speech, but here, very, very open. All right, let's make a few uses and we'll be done then. This was a public discourse of Job's, and so it is never wise to charge God in public. Take our pains and our complaints to him and speak to him, not to others about him, especially your displeasure of his providence. Isn't that good counsel? I can't take credit for that. It's good counsel, though, that when we would be in difficult straits, that we don't charge God publicly. If you want to charge God, I used to have a pastor that said, are you angry with God? Tell him. He can take it. He can. But don't charge him foolishly and publicly. Don't destroy others' confidence. But if you have a difficulty, take it to the Lord. Observe also how weak we are as a people and how the Lord is able, with a little wiggle of his finger, to afflict and chasten us. Let us not trust then in our own strength. Excuse me. Also, as Job talks about going down to his house no more and missing those creature comforts, and that is his regret, let us not be so trusting of creature comforts. Let us not think them so important that they take the place of our faith and resting in Christ alone. There is no creature comfort worth sinning for. Be thankful for those common and yet tender mercies of God, such as a good night's sleep, a good meal, friends and family, those common things. Let us not take them for granted, but be thankful for them at all times. And the last use is, remember that in Job's vindication of himself, that he is sinning against the Lord, and in so doing, brings the Lord into judgment. We are not capable, especially in times of trial, rightly to distinguish our case, and ought rather to present our case to the Lord, and not bring him into the dock, into the judgment seat. Thus ends the reading of Job chapter 7. Then let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of